Hello, everyone. It's Christmas on the Farm, our annual broadcast looking back at what it was like growing up on farms in the United States at Christmas time. I'm Max Armstrong, and who's this man?
I'm Orion Samuelson, delighted to once again continue this annual tradition of sharing some memories and also sharing some music for the season. And this year, our music is provided by the choirs of Grace Lutheran Church in Woodstock, Illinois. That at one time was very much a rural community surrounded by dairy farms in the northern part of the state, about 60 miles northwest of Chicago. Urban sprawl has taken many of those dairy farms away, but as you drive through the countryside to visit this church, indeed you will see barn lights at night and barn lights in the morning. That's probably a little bit of what we'll be talking about during our Christmas on the Farm event, but indeed we are going to enjoy music for the season, and let's turn to the Grace Lutheran Church choirs and Joy to the World.
Listening to the choir there just reminds me of all of the hard work that goes into these Christmas presentations, all of the work that starts way back in the fall as the choirs practice and the young men and women who participate in the programs start learning their pieces. Don't you remember that? What it was like having your mother drill you on that two-sentence piece you had to learn for the Christmas program.
And that's what we called it. It was your Christmas piece.
That's
it
right.
Could have been a verse from the Bible, or it could have been some other inspirational reading that fit the holiday season. And the thing I remember is, and you talk loud enough so they can hear it in the back pew. Well, at that time, at that age, the church looked like a huge arena. I go back now and realize there are only 10 rows of pews in that church where I grew up that is still there, Brush Creek Lutheran Church, between Ontario and Cashton, Wisconsin, and only 10 pews. It is just a very tiny country church.
Well, one thing I've noticed over the years as you've gone out to these churches over a wide expanse of our country here, you learn a lot about the congregation, you learn about the people, you meet some interesting people too, and I know that was the case again this year.
This year at Grace Lutheran Church, the pastor, Ken Gibson, well, I've known him since back in his high school days in Illinois when he was an officer of the what was then called the Future Farmers of America, that is now called the FFA. But tell you what, instead of my talking about it, let's turn to Pastor Ken as he shares his memory of our meeting.
Well, it began back in Kewanee, Illinois, when we first met. I was a young man working on a dairy farm in the outside of Kewanee, Illinois, where we first met, and ended up being a state officer in the FFA, and you were always there interviewing me, and now we're doing it again.
Doing it again.
Doing it again. Doing
in
it
a
again.
Congregation that's going to share with us a great deal of musical talent. Tell me about the congregation and the membership.
Congregation's been around just about two times the amount of years you've been in broadcasting, a little over, 103 years old, and okay. We just celebrated a few years ago our 100th anniversary. We have about little over 1,600 members, and about 430 worship every weekend here at Grace. And as you will hear, We are very blessed with a lot of talented musical people. It's a big part of the ministry and mission here at Grace.
Well, in the early days, it was surrounded by farm country, and I'm sure the majority of the members were farmers. What about today?
We have a few, not as many as we'd like, but we love them all. It is going the way of this area. We're losing some of our farmers, but they're still here. The joy I have as I come into these doors here at Grace every day, and as I look to my right, which would be to the west, I see nothing but beautiful farmsteads and the great open plains. If I come out at night this time of year when it's dark and I look to the east, all you see is the lights of the city.
How special is Christmas at this church?
Long tradition, very special. German tradition from the beginning. You'll hear a German rendition of Silent Night. Then Grace became the first English-speaking congregation here in Woodstock and has a wonderful history of Christmas being so special. We'll have four services over those Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It's a wonderful time.
And the churches, too, are dressed up. They're just beautiful this time of the year, too, aren't they, Orion?
They are, and many of the decorations that hang on the tree are made by Sunday school and by adult groups that make, well, the religious symbols that hang on the Christmas tree, but regular Christmas decorations as well. And I find that it generally matches a fresh tree that stands in the sanctuary as well as in the entryway to the church.
That's right, a real tree in many of our churches, to be sure. Well, there are so many memories of when we were growing up, whether it was getting the tree, going to get the family tree, or the anticipation, or as Lyle Dean, our friend, the longtime radio newsman, Lyle Dean pointed out when he was growing up, and I bet this was the case with you too, Orion, there was a lot of study that went in to that Sears Roebuck catalog when it came every fall. Lyle shares with us now his memories of Christmas in Colorado.
Orion and Max, Christmas on the high plains of northeastern Colorado probably wasn't much different than Christmas in any rural community or small town, except we had to go a long way to find any tree, let alone a Christmas tree that we could cut ourselves. We always had a Christmas tree of some shape. In fact, I remember discussions between my parents about the less than perfect shape of the tree my father selected and brought home. The time-tested remedy of turning the tree to show its best side and then draping what we called icicles, narrow strips of tinfoil, covered nature's imperfections. Just using the term tinfoil may take some of you back to another era. The Christmas season started for me as soon as the Montgomery Ward and Sears Christmas toy catalogs arrived. I studied every item in them. Over and over. If Santa had needed a helper, I could have recited the details of just about every item, including price. I usually didn't get the things I asked for, like cowboy boots, because the family doctor had said they weren't good for my feet, or chaps, like the movie and rodeo cowboys wore, or spurs. My dad refused to allow the use of spurs, saying it was cruel to the horse and unnecessary for a good rider. Like many rural families, our Christmas Eve was a big deal and church-centered. After the chores were done early and after supper, that's what we called the evening meal then, it was off to town and to church. For many years, there were special Christmas Eve programs by and for children and, of course, their proud parents. Even though I enjoyed the Christmas carols and the bag of hard candy, cookies, and nuts passed out to the Sunday school kids, my sister and I could hardly wait for the church program to be over and the anticipation of the winter night's ride home to see if Santa had come. We knew he had. He always had before. Except for one year. I don't recall my exact age, but I desperately wanted an electric train set with a steam locomotive just like my Grandpa Hettinger operated on the Union Pacific Railroad. We got home, ran into the house, and under the tree was no sign of Santa for me. My sister and baby brother had been visited, but not me. How could this be? And why? Okay, my sister was better behaved than me, but it still seemed that Santa had been very unfair. I was probably in a major pout. When my mother asked me to go to the basement and get something out of the deep freeze. In the basement was a completely set up Lionel train set with a steam engine that smoked and whistled just like Grandpa's. And the train set was on a large table that I'd seen my father building in the garage. At the time, he told me it was a sewing table for my mother and not to tell her. At the time, I didn't suspect a thing. Turns out, my dad and Santa were in cahoots. But the end result of the deception was a very memorable Christmas. Christmas Day usually meant family gatherings with cousins comparing their Christmas booty. Booty. Now, there's another term, the meaning of which has changed over the years. I mean it in the original and pirate sense. The Christmas Day feasts and gatherings, of course, came after the farm chores were done. When I whined about having to do chores on Christmas, I was reminded that chores always had to be done. That even on the first Christmas, the shepherds were tending their flocks. Some things never change. Maybe that's the point.
Boy, there were a few memories stoked as Lyle was talking there, Orion. I'm sure there were a few things that came to mind for you.
Oh, certainly, when he talked about the tree, because we had quite an area of woods on our farm, and every early December, Dad and I would walk through the field to get out to the wooded area where we had very tall pine trees, and he would climb the tree with the saw and just cut the top off the tree, which very often, as Lyle mentioned, wasn't very perfect.
Well, I remember, speaking of trees, I will never, ever forget Christmas of 1960.
Okay.
Christmas of 1960, Friday night before that Christmas, I was sitting there watching television. Rawhide was on. You remember Rawhide?
I remember
Clint
Rawhide.
Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
As Rowdy Yates.
Yes.
Gil Favor was in this. And Wishbone, the cook.
Yes.
And it was every Friday night, and I'm watching, and all of a sudden, now honest, I didn't nudge the tree. No one hit it. But between the television and my chair, the Christmas tree teetered over onto the floor.
And you were just looking at it.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Ornaments were shattered. They were broken in many pieces. Light bulbs were broken. My Christmas, I thought, was going to be broken until Dad set it back up. He'd guide that thing like a radio tower. There was more baling wire holding that thing down and to the woodwork of the window frame. There was nothing that was going to knock over that tree in the future.
Well, that's one of the differences, you see, between you and me, because we didn't have television when I was growing up on the farm. As a matter of fact, we didn't have electricity, and as you will learn one of these days, Max, grandchildren just change your life completely. I have a 12-year-old granddaughter, Grace, who still looks at me with a quizzical eye when I say, "No, Grace, I did not have electricity when I was growing up." Then she wants to know, well, what did the lights look like on the tree? I said, there were no lights on the tree. One year we tried candles, but decided that was too dangerous. It would probably burn the tree down. So she said, that means you didn't have any video games? Or I said, no, Grace. That's what life was like on the dairy farm in Wisconsin when you didn't have electricity. And for the first 14 years of my life, we didn't have electricity, which meant that our evening Christmas program, where we had to do the piece loud enough so they could hear you at the back of the church, that was done by lighted kerosene lamps that were mounted on the walls. So that is one of the differences when you look at Christmas today compared to Christmas when I was growing up.
If you want to see me break down in tears sometime, just mention Rawhide, and you'll know now why.
I certainly will. But it didn't ruin your Christmas, the fact that the tree went down while you were looking at it. You didn't touch it.
That's all. No, not at all.
Of course not. No. So anyway, was promised by Pastor Ken Gibson that we are going to hear a German version of Silent Night, and that we'll be able to hear both German and American here in just a matter of a moment. But I think something else that we might talk about is the fact that that country church still is the center of spiritual activity and life in the countryside, and it's very often the social center. And that still holds true today, and that's one of the reasons why every year, Christmas time, we like to go out to a church in the country and do the kind of a show that we did this week for our television show.
You know, as Lyle pointed out also, while you're there at the Christmas program, if you're 5 or 6 years old, there's all of that anticipation about getting home, or anticipation of Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, whenever the presents are opened. And I will never forget, one of the most memorable presents of my years of growing up was the John Deere pedal tractor that Santa brought me one Christmas.
Now, wait a minute. You're a red tractor person, and this is what you got.
It was the only green thing on the place. I'm not sure why Santa purchased this at the John Deere dealership. But guess what, Orion? Last month, I was rummaging through a filing cabinet in the old farmhouse. I found Santa's instructions for putting together, in 1957, that John Deere pedal tractor.
So, did Santa put it together so when you saw it for the first time, it was ready to ride?
It was ready to roll.
Oh, golly. Well, those are some of the memories that we bring every year on Christmas on the farm, and it's always tradition to bring to a close our brief time together every year with Silent Night, the most popular of all songs, I think, in the Christian church. And again, we turn to the choirs at Grace Lutheran Church in Woodstock, Illinois, Silent Night.
Das traute hoch, heilig.
Larry, and I'm guessing that your visit to a church each holiday season to visit with the congregation and listen to their worship and music is a perfect way for you to start your season. Gets you in the spirit, I'm sure.
Indeed it does, because you get to enjoy the music that is part of the season that you grew up with. You get to meet new and older members of the congregation, and in our case, many of them bring an agricultural background. So thanks to the folks at Grace Lutheran Church in Woodstock, Illinois, to Pastor Ken Gibson. And now, from the Samuelson House to your house, Max, and to all of you out there, a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Orion, and to all of the Samuelsons. Wherever you are listening to us across America, on the farm, on the ranch, in a big city condominium, we hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas.